Engage. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel. I am your resident friendly neighborhood dungeon master, Cody.
I don't know why that was so funny. I'm sorry.
I used to sign that as all my emails, your friendly neighborhood, whatever seemed appropriate at the time.
I think you actually have done that at work.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
If not, I'm going to now.
Yay!
So we're back here. In case you can't tell, I'm sitting here with Lucas.
Yay! Hi.
Since he didn't introduce himself.
I'm Lucas. Your friendly neighborhood guy.
There you go. Friendly neighborhood guy. What else can you ask for? And we are, we're running the last Monophobia.
Last one ever written. Never gonna be another one.
I'd like to hope. They get a lot of play, actually. Lucas getting a preemptive dice rolling there. And
dropping things.
So yeah, we're running the last Monophobia. There were three created in the PDF. I highly recommend, if you're interested in this, you go to unboundpublishing.com, I think, which is where they have these Monophobias for free. So after listening to these, you can definitely run them for your friends. Be great. I also encourage you to go back and listen to Of Grave Concern and what was the other one called? I always forget what the other one was called.
Oh, I don't remember. Matt did?
Yeah, Of Grave Concern, and I don't remember. Anyway, we've done other episodes of this with Matt and Jeff, so now Lucas is going to complete the trifecta, and the score is currently 1-1. I've won one, and the players have won one, so you get to be the tiebreaker, Lucas.
All right. Well, let's see how that goes.
We are playing this Monophobia is entitled Robinson Gruesome.
Just as cheesy as you can get.
Yeah, a little cheesy.
It's all right.
So, Lucas, why don't you go ahead and introduce us to your character?
Okay, so my character's name is Alex Dane. I am an American journalist. I'm a journalist who lived through some kind of war.
It was the Great World War.
In the 1920s.
The war to end all wars.
Yeah.
Question mark.
So anyway, mid-30s, fairly good-looking guy, probably hold himself in a fight. And after the war, decided to kind of start going on adventures, continuing to write things.
Yeah, so you sort of, as your path, you sort of, you know, like many young men, ended up in the Great War in the trenches, and Alexander, although he's chosen to call him Alex. Alexander lived through, you know, sort of the combat and stuff, sort of thrived off the adrenaline rush, then went down to Brazil in the early 20s as part of some military stuff. So you're kind of a world traveling adventurer guy now.
Right.
Like your first experience was going into war zones and the Great War, but your writing ability, you're kind of writing for like those pulpy type magazine pseudo journalistic type things. That's probably where you get a lot of your work from. So you're not the greatest writer per se, but you write really, really interesting adventurer stuff, you know, Edgar Rice Burroughs and, you know, the Heart of Africa, stuff like that is the kind of topics that you are.
Fair enough.
Cool. Anything relevant stat wise you feel like you should give across? I don't think we need to read all your stats, but
no, nothing's really that important. I mean, we'll just play it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, so we'll just go with it.
Fair enough. That's okay. This is actually Lucas's first Call of Cthulhu game, so we're hoping to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you haven't played Call of Cthulhu. You played Trail.
Trail. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Half of Trail, I should say.
Yeah. So you are, you actually find yourself in the South Pacific.
Okay.
You are near what is known as the Caroline Islands of Micronesia. Micronesia is at this time sort of up in the air. Everybody sort of claiming islands, but this is in, you know, sort of that Southeast Asia. You know, there's about 1,000 islands everywhere, and Micronesia in and of itself is made up of many, many, many small island chains. Some of them, in fact, go uncharted until the late 50s or 60s. So, and at this point, there are a lot of foreign interests involved in Micronesia. So I believe the Germans are there, the Brits are there, the Americans are there. Of course, you've got native cultures there as well. So it's just sort of a cultural hotbed right now. You actually are probably writing an article for National Geographic or something, and you've come to Micronesia. You are investigating the Caroline Islands for them, you know, probably writing an article on, I'm trying to remember exactly what's going on in history this time. I think the Germans are maybe trying to sell certain of the islands to the Americans or something to that effect, but that's why you're there.
Right.
You're there sort of covering that story. Anywho, you are, as we start the game, taking a tour of the islands from a small single-engine plane. It's actually an Aichi E-10A, which is a single-engine two-seat aircraft with front-back pilot-passenger configuration.
Neat.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be writing stuff down.
If you want to. You're in a small, single-prop plane, okay? And you've sort of just taken this nice tour of the various reefs and islands, you know, of Micronesia. And you are currently being piloted by your Japanese pilot, Hiro, a small, friendly man with glasses and a toothbrush mustache who speaks barely passable English.
Typical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been out for, we'll say it's getting on in the day. You were supposed to sort of fly out, tour some islands. You've probably got photography equipment with you. Because, you know, this was back in the day, you probably were taking pictures for National Geographic or whatever's the equivalent at this time. So we'll go ahead and say you've got some photographic equipment. And so you're probably taking pictures of the islands from the plane.
All right.
And so there you go. That's sort of what's happening. You've gone out this morning. You're supposed to fly around and then return back to the little island where you're currently staying in the Caroline Islands. Anyway, how about you roll me a speak Japanese roll?
Speak Japanese roll?
Yeah. Hey, guess what? You don't have speak Japanese.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. So it's a fail.
I mean, I could have told you that. It wasn't written on my paper.
I know, sarcasm. notice that...
I can do Portuguese. Will that work?
No. Okay. Not a similar language base. Do you have a pilot aircraft role? That I don't actually know. No.
No.
So it'd be right there.
I do not.
Okay. You notice that as you're, you know, you're flying around and you notice that Hiro, who hasn't been the best conversationalist. He will sort of relay things to you, but he doesn't speak very well. You notice that suddenly he's speaking a lot under his breath in Japanese.
Okay. He doesn't speak much English. Can I try to get out of him what he's saying in English? Can he at least try to?
You could ask him. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Hiro.
Yeah.
Hiro. What are you saying up there? What's going on?
He starts saying things, and you get out something prop, something plane, engine?
Engine? Is there something wrong with the engine?
Engine. And you see him start shaking his head.
Engine problem? Problem? You know this word?
And you see him shake his head as he nods, and you see him start fiddling with controls and start fighting the yoke a little bit. Okay. Starting to notice a little bit of smoke maybe rising from the prop.
Okay. So he's trying to pull the plane up?
Right now, everything's cruising along just fine, but you realize he's fighting the yoke a little bit more. It's no longer easy. And
okay,
the smoke's getting a little heavier.
Am I able to reach that and help him hold on to it and keep it steady?
You could try.
Okay. Do you want me to roll something? Yeah. I want to try to help him hold things steady.
Okay. So, like I said, it's a front-back seat. So he's kind of on a bench seat in the front, and you're kind of on a bench seat behind him. So you're, as you lean over and grab the yoke, you feel like it's, you've never piloted a plane before, but you feel like it's uncomfortable right now. Like you can really feel the plane vibrating. And you see him, map.
Where's the map?
You look to the side and off to the, you know, I'm going to assume that much like a car, I don't actually know how a small one-seater plane works. We'll say it's like a car, so much to the, you know, the controls are sort of to the left.
It's got a glove box.
Yeah. So you got a sort of glove box area over there. And
like
you can
no one ever keeps gloves in. Never.
In the 20s, they probably did.
I don't, maybe.
So you see that there's a, you see that there are a number of charts beside him.
Okay. A number of them.
Yeah.
Do I know which one I need?
Do you have any sort of navigation role or anything else that would be useful with charts?
I have a 34 and navigate.
Okay. Toss me a navigation role.
No bueno.
Yeah, you're looking at the, what'd you roll? You rolled 45.
Yeah, out of 34.
Out of 34. You're definitely sure you've got the right chart. I mean, what he's got is a series of charts and it's just various islands. But looking through the charts, you're kind of scanning the horizon and you can see that there's an island that's becoming very prominent in the distance. And you can't tell, you know, you're sort of looking at his compass and looking at the map and you can't really tell where you're at.
Okay. So can I just flash the one in front of that one in front of him and to see, is this the right one? Is this the right one?
You see him sort of, he's really fighting. The yoke's getting a little harder now and the plane's actually starting to vibrate. I mean, it vibrated before, but now it's getting uncomfortably vibrating and he, no. And then you see him sort of, and he says something in Japanese and sort of really bows his head and just kind of is giving you a very wide eyed glance.
Okay.
He's looking very nervous. As you see him continue to fight the yoke.
I'm assuming there's not a parachute in this plane.
Give me a luck roll.
Where's my luck? No. Nope.
Wow, you rolled a 97 over 80. Grats. No parachute.
Bad.
that's unlucky, yeah. Perhaps.
That is, that sucks. Is there an inner tube at least? Something... It's not a parachute, but you know,
there are probably some things that would float should you end up in the water. You're still high enough up that a jump out would kill you.
I could pencil dive. it never works.
It's like, no, it's a map. We no understand the location. No island. And at this point, like, it's starting to, the plane is, like, it's, you've got some serious engine trouble. It does not seem like you're going to make it much farther.
Okay. I mean, I have a multitude of maps. I just start showing him multiple maps.
You just see him continually shake his head and shake his head and shake his head.
What do you want?
At this point, and, like, it's out.
Okay.
You guys are now gliding. Uncomfortably. And you notice Hiro kind of... You notice Hiro sort of, you know, with one free hand kind of... I'm assuming you're still sort of leaning over the bench seat, or did you climb into the
I'm
front?
In the bench seat, next to him.
You've climbed up next to him, so it's probably uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You see now that he's flexing with all he's got, and he's pulling on the flaps, and you guys are sort of gliding in for a landing at this point.
Okay.
This is a seaplane, so you do have floats.
Okay.
So he can land on the water.
Right.
So it's not that you're going to crash into the water at high speed. And he sort of like, he sort of looks over at you with wide eyes and is like looking at you and nodding at like, you know, the belt and whatnot. Like,
oh, seatbelt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I put my seatbelt on.
He's like, rough. And you kind of, so you guys hit the water and you kind of, you have a spot hidden. What's your spot hidden score?
60.
Roll with an additional 15%. So roll 75 or less.
Got it.
So as you're fumbling with the belt, you happen to look out and you kind of get a glance of what your crash, sort of you guys are crash landing in. And you realize that there's a small island, maybe quarter of a mile, half mile in diameter. Very, very tiny. And you notice that there is a, what looks like you can tell because you're high enough up, you can see that there's sort of a barrier reef encircling it.
Okay.
And you can tell he's aiming to put you in between the reef and the island because there's definitely no place to land on the island that you can see.
Right.
And so he's going to put you in kind of the shallows in between the two places.
Okay.
And anyway, Hero, you guys kind of hit the water and skip a little bit, but he kind of brings it to a rest. And, you know, smoke by this point is billowing into the cabin. You're probably coughing a little bit and, you know, whatever. Not good.
Right, right.
All right.
Like, is the window, like, can I, is the window closed?
Yeah, both the doors on both sides would be closed. So yeah, you are now
just floating.
Just kind of floating. Hero okay. looks very, very terrified.
Okay, I snap a couple photos of his terrified face. Because I have photo equipment. I yeah. can do that.
He seems very perturbed that you would do so.
It's documenting stuff, man.
He seems to be he seems to be a little perturbed, but you can see he's sort of safe. Safe now. Definitely did not think you were going to make it.
I kind of put my hand on his shoulder to lean over and vomit.
Fair enough.
Thanks, man.
So you see him. He starts looking at the charts with you. Go ahead and roll another navigate roll.
Good.
This time, between you and Hero, you both identify the map of where you guys thought you were. And this island is not on it.
Why would it be?
If you were landing on an island full of, you know, naked women, you would definitely not be in a Call of Cthulhu game.
Yeah.
So you notice Hero, he's like, radio. Radio.
Okay.
And so he sort of points at you and then points at the radio.
So I pick up the radio.
Okay. And as he does that, he goes, he points to himself, fix plane. And you see him open the door and he climbs out of the plane.
Okay.
And you can see him. He's kind of, you can't see him. He sort of disappears out of view because you're, he disappears out of view because, you know, obviously you're elevated on the floats.
Right.
So you kind of hear a splash as he's gone down in the water to get under the plane, to get up, you know, swim up near the engine and
okay.
look at what's going on.
Is the plane turned off?
No. As far as you mean whether or not you've got electricity to the radio?
As far as him accidentally tripping something and then the engine turning on and then getting the hand cut off.
No, this is not Final Destination.
Okay.
No.
So I have power to
do. Yes, you realize that the radio is working.
Okay, so I just start plugging in a Mayday. We made a crash, landed on an island. We don't know where we are. Give them an approximate coordinate, but we don't see this island on the map.
Okay. You just kind of hear whenever you release the trigger, you know, you just kind of hear, you know, nothing's coming in.
Okay.
Well.
So, I mean, I just try a couple more times because it's cliche okay. for every film.
Fair enough. So you try a couple more times. So, you know, you're giving it a few seconds, you know, 20, 30 seconds, see if they respond, trying again.
We're near the islands of Micronesia. What language would they speak there?
All sorts.
So, I mean, I have, what if I try in Spanish?
Spanish is probably not likely.
Portuguese is the only one I have.
You could try in Portuguese. I mean, Portuguese, Micronesia would have been explored by the Portuguese like 400 years ago. So maybe Portuguese is a language.
I mean, I'll just start throwing out the languages that I know. So I'm trying multiple languages.
You're dialing in the radio left and right and, you know, you're not picking up anything.
Okay. I just turn the radio off.
All of a sudden, you hear a splash,
mm-hmm.
a big splash,
mm-hmm.
like bigger than Hero when he jumped in the water, splash. And then you hear a crunch, and all of a sudden the plane starts tilting to one side, and you begin to hear screaming.
Okay. All right. Clearly I need to take off my seatbelt here, because I still have that on.
Yeah.
So that's been taken off.
As you take off your seatbelt, let's see, we'll say that it's towards the open door.
So I'm leaning towards the open door.
The whole plane is now listing to one side. Okay. So you're starting to list towards the open door.
Okay.
And water is now starting to pour into the body of the plane.
So I open my side. I'm assuming there's a door on my side.
Right.
Okay, I open that door.
Okay.
And climb out.
Okay.
So I'm kind of trying to climb onto the side of the plane that is not submerged to get on top of it and level.
Right. So let's roll me a dex times 5 check to see if you're able to do that. So take your dex score,
mm-hmm.
multiply it by 5.
You can do that yourself.
Math.
It's
So all right,
you got it. Yeah, that's probably actually pretty close to an extreme success.
Yay!
So you're able to, you throw open the door as things starts to gurgle and drop, and you sort of climb up in, you know, climb up on top of this plane, and it's still going down, but you're at least on dryness for the moment.
Right.
Roll me a spot hidden check.
I'm assuming I have my equipment on me, like my weapons, everything I have, all this stuff, right? No?
No.
Yeah, helpful.
Yeah, no, it's in that backpack you left in the back seat.
Oh. Any chance of me reaching down there and grabbing it?
No, probably not now.
It's a luck roll.
It's a luck roll?
Got my luck roll.
I asked for a spot hidden, but I'll take your luck roll. All right.
I just want my bag of stuff.
All right. You reach in and see that your now completely soaked bag. Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll give it to you.
All right.
You got your completely soaked bag.
At least I got my stuff.
So we'll put that in substitute of the spot hidden. So you're not going to get the spot hidden. At this point, the plane is sinking so fast, you're just about ready to hit the water now.
Okay.
And you realize that the water is not water-colored at the moment. Mm. It's actually pretty red.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. And, yeah, so you're plunging into bloody water.
How far away am I from the shore?
Oh, probably 150, 200-yard swim.
Like I have a choice. Let's just swim for it, apparently.
There you go. Let's swim for it.
What am I rolling?
Swim.
Where's swim? Okay. Got it.
Ot 5. Yeah. What's your score?
54.
Okay, so that would be... 5 would be 10%, so it's under 20%, so that's an extreme success.
Okay.
So you just start, you know, you dive in, you probably kick your shoes off, and you dive in, and you just start pulling for the water. You know, you're cruising through it Michael Phelps style. You are getting to that island.
And then I smoke him a bong.
Exactly.
Michael Phelps style.
You hear a loud scream behind you.
Okay.
Which gets cut off very, very rapidly. And you swim, and you swim, and you swim. And you finally realize that right in front of you is a sort of a nice sandy beach. And you swim up on the beach.
Okay.
Give me a spot hidden. There you go. Oh, 9.
9 out of 60.
As you turn around, you can see the plane is almost completely underwater now. You can see that, you know, there's probably a little bit of wing that was still exposed as you started swimming away.
Okay.
You can probably see a little bit of discoloration of the water, not quite, but you definitely see a dorsal fin of a shark.
Mm-hmm.
Going around the... patrolling the area, I guess you could say, swimming in and amongst what was once pieces of what you would assume was okay. Hero.
All right.
So how about you roll me a nice little sand check to start?
Am I the same thing?
Yeah. 95. That's a fumble.
What am I even looking at?
You need to roll under your sand score.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that's a fail, and I need you to roll a 1d4. 3. So just mark off 1, 2, 3 like that. That makes your new sand score 39.
Okay. Makes sense.
You don't even have to do the math here. The numbers are all listed for you.
Yeah. I'm happy with that.
So you reach the shore, soaking wet, freezing, even though it is very humid and nice out. You know, just swimming through the water was less than pleasant.
Right.
I wouldn't say freezing, but you're uncomfortable.
I'm not injured at all. I'm good.
Yeah, no, you're uninjured.
Okay.
Maybe you're not... It wasn't the water that's cold. Maybe you're just shivering at the fact that Hero, who you were just talking to a few minutes ago, is in bloody chunks all over the seafloor.
Fair enough.
So you're having a bit of a freak out moment.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to kind of go through my backpack. Let's see what I got in there.
Your backpack from the swim all the way to the shore, everything is completely soaked. So camera equipment, cause I mean, you were only going out for the day. So a change of clothes is probably what you had in there.
Mm-hmm.
You might've had a gun. And you probably had camera equipment.
Okay.
Maybe a snack. All of that is completely waterlogged and most of it is useless.
If I set it out, I'm assuming it's daylight.
Yes.
If I set out the sun, try to dry it out.
You can try and dry things out, but I mean, you swam 150, 200 yards, whatever it is. I mean, it's almost everything was soaked by salt water. I mean, I'm assuming you were getting in and out of it to get your photo, you know, to get your equipment. So it probably wasn't zipped up when you were swimming and, you know, it's pretty waterlogged. The clothes could probably be salvaged.
Okay. At least the clothes could be useful. So the camera equipment doesn't seem useful to me at this point anyway.
Yep.
The gun would have been useful. So even though it's waterlogged, I'm going to carry it with me anyway.
Okay. That's fine.
Bullets? Are there bullets to the gun?
There were.
The bullets fell out?
No, I'm just saying that the bullets are likely ruined because they would have also gotten waterlogged, so the powder is probably wet.
Okay.
It's unfortunate.
Hey, at least I got the gun.
Sure.
You can pistol whip somebody who says shenanigans.
There you go. You could do that. All right, so you now appear to be marooned on this small island.
Okay, so what's around me? What am I seeing other than sand and bloody water?
All right, the beach since seems to stretch not as far as you would imagine, maybe 100 yards in total. It's maybe 40 yards deep to the tree line. And the vegetation's not very thick. As you saw from the air, it's not a very big island, so the vegetation is somewhat sparse. You also notice at the far either end, you notice sort of rocky, what do I say here? It gets very rocky very quickly. So do you have a, what I want to say here? Is there a geology check? There used to be one, I thought. You got anything in geology?
Yes, I have an 18 geology.
All right, let's give a geology check a try.
Two.
Ah, two. That is like four sub-10 rolls already.
Get them out of the way now, and then I can die later.
Okay, so you...
Okay.
So what you would understand is that this is likely a caldera. So... You obviously, with your education in geology, realize that, you know, erupting volcanoes come up out of the ocean. And that's how you get islands.
Right.
This is only a short time in its existence, maybe 20, 30 years, 50 years, you know, geologically speaking, very, very short.
So you could probably pin active. It
down. Could be.
Okay.
Or at least it was in a relatively recent past. But you do realize that there's vegetation on the island, so it hasn't been active in at least long enough for the trees to grow.
Right.
But what you get is that you've sort of got this sandy beach, and what you would imagine is that you do know that there is a summit. It's maybe 200 feet high, but what you would expect to find is a caldera. You're going to get up there, and it's going to be the open bowl of
right.
the thing.
Right.
But from looking at the geography, you would expect probably there's a little bit of a cave network, but the island is still so new, there isn't a lot in the way of, like, sandy beaches and lots of trees and stuff like that. So there is some thin wooded stuff, but not a lot.
Okay. Now, do I hear, like, birds? Do I see animals?
Yeah. You could definitely see that there are some fish swimming around, and you could definitely see that there are birds. Not a lot, but there are okay. some.
I don't have a knife. Do I have a knife? Was there a knife in that backpack?
Roll me... Actually, we should play this the way it's actually supposed to be played.
Good idea.
Roll me five luck rolls.
Five luck rolls?
Yeah. Tell me how many successes you get.
Okay, I forgot. What was my luck?
Your luck's at the top.
I was looking at the wrong thing.
One. Two. Nope. Three. Four.
Four to five.
Okay. So I'm going to say you spend some time. You don't leave the beach, but to take the time to sort of lay your stuff out and dry it and, you know, whatnot, you take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Say an hour, hour and a half, something like that, kind of walking around. You haven't really explored the island at all, but just kind of walking around the beach, getting some rocks to try and, you know, dry off everything. You notice that washing up on the shore, at one point, maybe after you're laying your stuff out and you're cursing the fact that your gun is waterlogged, you start noticing that there some wreckage is washing up from the plane, and you notice that there are a couple of seat cushions come up, so they obviously were flotation devices.
That was that spot check, wasn't it?
No, the spot check was for the dorsal fin and the half mowed on corpse of Hero who was going to be begging for help.
I just kind of thought that was already there, so I'd rather get my bag of stuff.
That's fine.
So you would say that about two cushions?
Yeah, two cushions.
Okay.
Two seat cushions. You also find the aircraft's first aid kit. a box floats up with six pistol flares.
Are they waterlogged?
They are not. They look like they would be able to be used. However, thinking back, you recall that the gun itself was hanging. The flares were in a box.
Yeah.
To keep them safe, which is probably why they ended up floating ashore. The gun was actually hanging somewhere inside the plane, inside the cab.
Okay.
So it's probably 20 feet underwater with the plane.
Okay. So
you have flares, but no flare gun.
No gun.
And you ended up getting four successes, right?
Yes.
You also seem that float up a watertight case of aircraft maintenance tools. So some screwdrivers, maybe a tiny saw, wrenches, etc.
Okay.
So you notice these sort of boxes float up.
Okay. Are these things all small enough that I can put them in my wet bag? Maybe not the tools, but...
Well, the tools are definitely small scale.
Okay. Cushions probably aren't going to fit.
Yeah, the cushions aren't going to fit. Probably everything else you could store in your bag relatively easily.
Okay.
If you took out the camera equipment and you took out the gun, then yeah, you could probably put everything in your bag.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that the camera equipment is going to do me any good now that it's ruined by salt water.
Probably correct.
Is there anything inside the camera that I could be that could be useful? Are there anything inside of a camera that is useful for anything?
I mean, you're going to have lenses. You're going to have film. You're going to have little mechanized bits and pieces.
I'll take the lenses at least.
Yeah. Give me a
thinking. There's nothing inside of a camera. Are there mirrors? Is there a mirror inside the camera? Maybe that.
Would... There's a reflective bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Before you start taking that thing apart, give me a mechanical repair roll.
Mechanical repair roll.
Yes.
Which is crap. Yep. 23 out of 20.
So while taking it apart, you end up cracking one of the lenses. Okay. So it's no longer whole. It's probably useless. You do get the reflector out of there, but you end up cracking one of the lenses.
Okay. So I have the reflector at least.
Yes.
So no lenses.
Oh. You have broken lenses. I don't know what you're going to use broken lenses for, but...
Well, I'll just put broken next to it.
Hey, you know.
Broken lenses.
It's clearly survival horror here, so you want to use the survival part.
What would you say? You would say it's like cracked in half, like now I have two shards?
Yeah, probably. But okay. I mean, we're talking a lens on it. You're talking... really tiny.
Yeah, but it would be sharp.
Yeah, sure.
Sharp, but how fragile would you say? Well, if it cracked when I grabbed it, it's probably pretty fragile.
Yeah. I mean, camera equipment in the 20s was not very sturdy.
Right. Okay.
In fact, if somebody hadn't rolled some critical successes even getting to the island, it probably would have been broken by the time you got there.
Yeah, well, my guy's BA, so.
All right, so what would you like to do, Mr. Dane?
Okay.
It is now... Early afternoon's turning into later afternoon.
Okay.
You've probably got 3 hours of daylight, maybe, you would guess.
There's no wood around for me to start a fire with.
Well, there are coconut trees and stuff. You could definitely start a fire. It's not that the island is bare.
Right.
It's just that it is not densely wooded. When you go into the woods, when you go into the tree line, you could, what do I say here? I won't put it. It's not like being in a... Think about it as like an arboretum mm-hmm. as opposed to a forest. Like it's not trees every 10 feet all across the island. But there's enough wood. It's a lot of... a lot of the trees bear coconuts. So there's stuff there for you. It's just not densely packed, you know, Rambo-style jungle.
Okay. Mm-mm-mm. I need to establish a camp somewhere.
Sure.
Somewhere safe. Does it appear as if there has been any kind of animal activity where I am? Footprints, anything like that?
No.
So it appears that I'm in a somewhat safe zone.
As far as you can tell, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you would have to roll to get any additional information.
Sure, I can do that.
It just depends on what you want to... Like, I understand the question you're trying to ask, but we need to give you a skill for it.
Okay. I'm searching for what I believe to be the safest place to sleep at night.
Is there a survival roll? I think there is a survival roll, yeah? No. That's in a different version of the game.
Spot hidden.
What about a... well, you were asking about animals. That would be a biology roll.
Okay. So I have a 21 in biology.
All right.
Didn't help.
I mean, you would know that there are some animals on here, but you wouldn't know if like there would be tigers on this island or anything like that.
Anything vicious, I suppose.
Yeah. All you're seeing so far are birds, insects, small things.
I need food as well. So
your belly is probably a little grumbly.
Coconuts. You said there were coconut trees?
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Are there coconuts at least on the ground that I can get to?
Yeah.
That don't look like they're rotten or anything?
Sure.
I don't know how coconuts work. Okay. So, I don't know how coconuts work. I'll grab 2-3 coconuts.
Okay.
Just to take with me, maybe put in my backpack just to have.
Okay.
So I need to find an area that is safe to sleep. Preferably not in a tree, because there apparently aren't very many trees here.
There's not a nature roll, is there?
Natural history. So we did geology already, which was pretty good.
I mean, we could do another... It all depends on how you want to get... There's information out there to have. It's just a question of what you want to do. You already know that there are likely caves.
Yeah.
You do know that you don't see any signs of predators via footprints and stuff on the beach.
Right.
You also remember from the air that the island is not that big.
Right.
It's something that you feel like we're not on Gilligan's Island or something. You know, it's not massively.
So could I feasibly walk around this island before dark and get back to where I started?
Probably. I mean, it would not take you very long to cover the entire island.
Okay. So maybe I should just explore the island a little further.
It's up to you.
So let's explore the island a little further.
Okay. Your belly is really crumbly. You should probably have one of those coconuts.
So coconut, I guess I'll just use one of my tools to crack it open. That's all I've got on hand.
Yeah, you can crack it open. You eat the meat inside, I'm assuming, and drink the coconut water. Mm-hmm. It's not very filling. It hydrates you. I mean, this is the... We are rapidly approaching. You would know in this... Because your nose 100, right? Okay, roll no, just for giggles, roll no and don't roll 2 or 3 zeros. Hey, look at you. You know something.
Yeah.
It's you realize that this time of year you're in sort of the monsoon season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very humid, it's very wet, it storms a lot, so I don't even know where I was going with this.
So I need to find a cave or someplace that's sheltered.
Potentially. I mean that's one thought, but more what I was going along with this is just the fact that you are getting fairly dehydrated.
Right.
So you the coconut provided some sustenance, but you would have to eat and drink a good number of them to feel sated every day.
Okay. I mean, are there a good number of them to work with?
Maybe. Seems like there are some.
What do I need to roll to find out if there are enough to keep me sustained?
There aren't as many trees as you would like, right. Like I said, so right. There's not a lot here.
Okay.
Cause as you said, you were going to explore the island, right? Are you heading inland or are you going to try and walk around it?
I'll walk around it.
Okay. Which way would you like to head? You realize the sun is setting in your direction, so you're clearly on the west side of the island.
Okay. So I'll head towards the east side.
Okay. So you're going to head counterclockwise.
Yes. No. Yes.
I guess it depends which way you want to go.
We'll just go clockwise.
Okay. So as you go clockwise, you notice that as you start heading, you know, in that direction, you get to the end of the beach and you realize sort of that everything starts becoming rocky. Like I said, the beach is only like 100 yards across. And as you get there, you start to notice the rocky outcroppings and that this is sort of the, the leftover remnants of the lava flows and, you know, coming out of the caldera and so forth. And on this side of the beach, you actually do discover a small cave system.
Okay.
It's nothing big. You almost wouldn't call it a cave. It's kind of a pocket. It's like maybe 10, 12, 15 feet deep, 4.5, 5 feet high. But you do notice that there's a nice little sort of pocket into the side of the, the side.
So there are no caves within this pocket that go deeper into... On the underground.
Geology roll. You got it?
Yep.
There probably are some subterranean caves. You see signs of the way that the rock is formed, that there's likely caves that are under there, but the cave that you're in doesn't access it. You know what I mean?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you go to the back and there's clearly a cave wall.
Okay.
But you would imagine looking at it in the style of rock that it is, the Ignatius rock and so forth. Pretty sure it's Ignatius rock. I'm kind of pulling on my science background here.
Lava rock, I believe is.
It's Ignatius, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Anyway.
Correct us if we're wrong.
Hashtag geology. Hashtag geology scrubs. As you sort of look down in, you can tell by the way it's formed and stuff that it does go deeper, but not anything that you could go into. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Does that make sense? Like, the way that the lava flows and stuff, there are other probably pockets and caves.
Yeah.
But the cave that you're in is just... It's like the size of this room.
Okay. So there are no access points whatsoever in this cave to any other caves.
No.
Okay.
But there probably are more caves.
Right.
Okay.
So this seems like a decent place to take cover for the night.
It's up to you.
Yeah. I'm going to go. Yeah. I mean, now, does it appear as if there has been any animals bedding within this pocket?
Spot hidden?
Good.
You don't see any signs of animals whatsoever.
Okay, so I feel safe here.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if I grab my stuff. If not, I'll go back and get it. I didn't seem to go far.
No, you walked 150, 200 yards maybe.
Right, so let's, even whether I had it or not, I've gotten my stuff. I put it all in the cave.
Okay.
Cushions, everything.
Yeah. No, we need a nice bed.
However, there still is nothing really around to make a fire with. I mean, you said there's some twigs and things.
You could definitely, with some time, if you were to fell some trees, you could definitely get a good fire going. There's probably enough scrub that you could get a... What kind of fire are we talking about here? Are we talking bonfire?
Just something small enough to keep warm at night.
Gotcha. You realize that...
I am on an island. It's probably going to get chilly in the evening.
A little bit, yeah. But it's not... At this time of the year, it's actually going to be humid. You're going to be relatively-ish warm. Mm-hmm. Either way, if you would like to make a small... cook fire, a small keep you warm fire, there's more than enough brush to do that.
Let's do that.
The harder part is going to be starting said fire.
Yeah. Enough sticks around to use the old Boy Scout method of rubbing sticks together, you know what I mean?
Make the little... You're going to need some sort of roll for that, but yeah.
All right, what do I need for that?
See, I really would like a nature roll or a survivor roll or a...
Really, all I have is natural history for nature. Drive auto. Yeah, that'll do it.
That writing skill that we talked about earlier is really coming in handy, isn't it?
Yeah. Archaeology. I have archaeology. That's fun.
Let's just, since it's a dex check, let's just do dex times 3.
Okay.
Good. That's an ot 2. So yeah, you sneeze on it.
It's like the fifth one.
I'm going to take that die back.
Scream out.
You sneeze on it, and it catches fire.
All right.
So you get a little fire going.
All right.
Sun's starting to go down a little bit more.
Okay.
Wind's starting to pick up a little bit.
Right. I'll eat another one of my coconuts.
Okay. It's still just, it's just barely appealing you or whatever.
You know,
but
I got to keep a little hydrated.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. You're definitely feeling it a little bit.
I mean, there is no natural water that I know of so far, so.
True.
I'll just camp out for the evening and see what happens the next day.
Okay. So you bed down. You actually see right at dusk a storm rolls in,
mm-hmm.
and it rains and it rains and it rains and it rains. It's, monsoon season.
Yeah, understandable.
So you sleep somewhat comfortably, I guess you could say.
I got some cushions.
It's still sort of drizzling when you wake up the next morning. And you see that there are sort of formed pools of water on the beach and stuff. It's a little humid, a little wet.
Okay. So there's little puddles of water that's not salt water?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is rainwater.
Now I have 2 empty coconuts. I could maybe scoop some fresh water out.
Yeah. I think it's fine. You probably could use a tool to kind of... You're probably using a tool to... And your fingers to peel the meat out of the coconuts anyway. So yeah, you could easily scoop up a bowl of water.
Okay. And I'll leave another one. I'll leave one out there just to kind of fill up on its own.
Okay. Yeah. No, at this point you realize that there are several pools and pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you scoop it up now, you could definitely have some.
Okay.
You don't need to set it to fill up necessarily.
Right. Necessarily. All right. So water. Water's good.
Yep.
Really
hungry, though.
Yeah. Is there anything at all that I can eat? Vegetation that is safe to eat? Berries, something?
Natural history roll.
Which is a 51 out of 57.
You realize that a lot of the plants around here are poisonous. There are some very poisonous plants on here.
Okay.
You do see some that you could eat. Yeah, you do see some you could eat.
Okay. So then I'll do that. Get a little sustenance of some kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a note here. Just so I remember things.
It's all right. Do what you gotta do.
Yeah, so you eat this plant, and it's safe. Maybe something you've had before in your travels. Okay. It's not pleasant, but you feel a little more full than you did just eating coconut.
Okay, now can I gather some of this for later?
Sure.
All right.
So you spend, say, the morning gathering stuff.
Okay.
And it's not great, but you do you're able to gather it, and you see where you could theoretically gather more.
And I'll pick up more coconuts. I imagine there's more lying around.
Yeah. You could easily do that.
Okay.
So it's probably noonish now.
Is it still raining?
No, it fell off after a couple of hours.
Okay. You said that there was a ledge or a wall of some kind, perhaps?
Ledge or a wall.
You say there was like there was an upper where if I were to climb up, I would see the caldera itself.
Well, yeah, no, the caldera, you can see it rises up. It's just, it rises up.
So it's not like taller than I am?
Or it is. No. What I'm saying is the, so that, you know, it kind of, the caldera swoops up and then dips down. So what you're actually seeing the rise is the outer wall of the caldera. And it rises, like I said, so if you imagine this top of this lava, you know, this mountain rising up and then erupting and spilling down, and then erupting and spilling down and building up the island. What you're seeing is maybe 200 yards, 300 yards up. So once you travel in, because you could see it rise up over the trees.
Right.
Once you travel in a little ways, you could easily climb up and get down into the caldera. That's sort of the highest point, the middle point of the island, if that makes sense.
Okay. Okay. So I have a useless gun. You didn't give me a knife, even though I asked earlier.
It's because I thought a knife washes up, but a knife does not wash up.
Yeah. What's inside of that? I'd never opened that up. What's inside of that first aid kit? Just curious.
You find inside the first aid kit needle and thread, gauze, a little bit of antiseptic. What else would be in there? Because you wouldn't have tape. You'd probably have, I'm trying to think what they would use to seal it back in the day. You'd probably tie it off in the 20s.
Tourniquet?
I mean, the wrap could probably be used as a tourniquet. Because you've got gauze, and then you've got gauze, and you got bandage. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you've got something absorbent, and then you've also got something, like today, the wraps are stretchy and stuff. It's not quite like that. It's more cloth-based, but you've got some of that wrap as well.
Strips of cloth.
Basically. Yeah. You've also got needle and thread.
You said that already?
Oh, did I say that already? Sorry. And then you've also got water purification tablets.
Oh. How many?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I don't like the way that this is written, so I was scrolling to try and find it. You find, say, it's nonspecific, you see a month's supply. So you could, however many tablets make sense to purify enough water for you to have a day for 30 days. Does that make sense?
Sure.
It's just an arbitrary number, so we're going to say 30 days worth of tablets.
Okay, I'll just put 1 month on that. That's everything in the kit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I say antiseptic? There's probably some antiseptic in there. Okay.
Yeah. Needle thread, gauze, antiseptic, bandages, which was cloth, and water purification tablets.
Yeah.
Okay. I go back around to the other side of the island where I first swam up.
Oh, so were you trying to walk all of, so are you assuming at noon you walked all the way around the island? Because right now you sort of, here's the beach, and you sort of walk to the cave, which isn't that far.
Right.
And then you sort of walk back. So you've only covered, if you think about a clock, you've covered like between 5 and 6 on the clock of all the way around.
Yeah, I haven't gone all the way around yet.
Okay, so I'm just making sure you knew you were only going back 100 yards.
Yeah. So I want to go back to where I first landed and see if anything else is washed up.
Nah, nothing useful.
So then I'll just continue around that same direction and continue around the island. I'm going around the island, do I see other islands out in the distance?
Not from here. Maybe if you go up a couple hundred yards into the caldera, you could see something.
That's why I was asking
here.
About a wall earlier. Which, but if I haven't really decided where to climb.
Yeah, well, it's just, I'm trying to think, sort of like just...
Because it's more of a mountain. It's not going to be flat. It's not going to be easy to trek, right?
No, it's relatively easy to climb up. It's not, it's a gentle slope. You do think it rises, overall it rises 200 yards probably, but it doesn't go 200 yards straight up.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever geometry, math, you know, you could easily climb it.
Okay. I'll just keep going around first and trek the entire flatland.
Okay. As you walk around, you realize that bit of beach that you are on is kind of the only real bit of beach. Everything else is very rocky and full of that sort of, you know, lava stone.
Right.
The rest of the vegetation all the way around the island is fairly sparse. There's more as you go up the side of the caldera, but it was definitely heaviest on that west side where you started.
Okay.
You also notice that it seems like... When would you have set off? We're talking noonish again?
To go around the island?
Yeah.
Let's see. I woke up in the morning, grabbed some vegetation, 11 noon probably.
Okay. So you're walking around in the afternoon. You realize another storm has kind of set in, and so it's raining as you're walking around. But you do notice as you look out, you remember seeing a sort of a barrier reef?
Yes, yes.
You didn't really think about it yesterday, but today because I'm pretty sure I used to know this. You have high tide in the morning, you have low tide, like, afternoon, and then you have high tide in the evening, I think is the way that works.
I think so.
Anyway, again, tell us how wrong we are.
It's a lunar thing, I know that. Tidal wave? Hashtag tidal wave.
There you go. Hashtag tidal wave nubs.
Nubs.
As you look out, you realize that the barrier reef, actually... It's either pretty high or it's grown up on a sandbar. Like, you can actually see tips of it.
Okay.
Like, so you can easily tell that when you flew in later in the evening, probably at high tide or closer to high tide, it was covered.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell that it gets really low. And when it gets really low, like, it's almost like a reverse moat or something. You know what I mean?
Okay. Like a wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Roll me a spot hidden.
Got it.
You also see a dorsal fin.
Is it moving?
Yeah.
Screw him.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to go up against a shark.
No. I'm just, you notice it again, which seems a little strange.
Seems to me that this shark is stuck inside of this reef.
Maybe.
I'm assuming. Yeah. There's probably no way for me to get him out of there.
Maybe.
Is there a way for me to get the shark out of there?
I don't know. You can do this free willy style, let it jump over you.
Yeah.
Takes off your arm on the way over.
Jaws 19. How wide is this reef? Like, could I safely walk on this?
No, probably not.
Okay.
Not to mention you'd have to swim the several hundred yards out to it. Does that make sense?
Okay, so it's not from like the edge of the sand and like a half circle.
No. Okay. We're talking island, several hundred yards of water.
Right.
Reef.
Okay.
So almost like a lagoon. The water where you landed in, you actually realize, is probably fairly shallow. So even though Hero landed the plane, say, 100 yards from shore, normally 100 yards from shore on your average beach, you'd be a fairly good depth then.
Mm-hmm.
The plane's probably only sitting in like 12, 15 feet of water.
Okay.
So it's almost like a lagoon. Like the whole water inside that barrier reef is low that you could tell.
Okay. Still don't really know that I want to risk swimming out to the plane.
It's probably a good call.
Yeah. Are there like any, like some crabs or anything walking around on the shore?
Nothing big. Nothing.
Anything mobile that won't kill me if I try to eat it, like a bug or something?
Oh, there are plenty of bugs.
I gotta survive somehow.
There are plenty of bugs.
I gotta survive somehow. So let's Hakuna Matata this thing and just start grabbing some grubs, something that I feel will not kill me. If I know that it won't hurt me, I will eat it.
Okay, roll me a... I'm going to go ahead and give you a biology roll.
Okay. Really screwed that up.
Okay. Yeah, there are plenty of bugs. I mean, you can easily harvest bugs. That's not a problem whatsoever. It's not going to be pleasant, but you can mash up bugs.
Nothing to eat here is going to be pleasant. I've understood that.
Fair enough.
I am not getting the steak or a lobster in the evening. This is...
No, probably not at all.
So, I mean, I'm trying to sustain myself. I got to eat something. So okay. I'll just eat a few bugs, see how it settles.
It's not pleasant, but that source of protein is good. Like you definitely feel a little better.
Okay.
As I say, we're getting on. It's later afternoon now. It's starting to get evening again. Did you circumnavigate the island entirely?
Yeah, let's say I've gone around the entire island. Did I see anything at all useful to me?
Not really.
Okay. Sticks. There's some like large sticks, maybe like a staff-sized stick.
Oh, yeah. No, you could easily break that off of a tree. Okay. Shoot a bamboo or something to that effect.
Now, if I break it off, is it sharp on one end?
Sharp-ish.
Sharp-ish. Sharp enough to pierce, let's just say, flesh for the sake of something soft?
Probably not without working it a little bit.
Okay. I'm surrounded by rocks, so if I could take a rock and try to sharpen that up.
Okay.
Okay, so now I've got, let's call it a man-made spear.
Let's call like a mechanical repair roll, I guess. I mean, it's not really
mechanical repair.
Like, there's no mechanical repair and electrical repair are really your only like building thing.
Yeah.
I mean, just like in any game, if you've got something that you think is better, I'll take it. But that's off the top of my head, probably the best skill you have as far as fabrication.
Yeah. I mean, I'm less than just using my general characteristics or something.
Yeah. So let's roll a mechanical repair to see how it goes.
That's low. Hey, 20? 20.
All right. You're able to fashion a relatively decent spear. Would it stab flesh? Probably. How effective it's going to be and for how long? Not really sure, but it definitely... It's one of those things where you kind of spend the rest of the evening in between munching on leaves. Mm-hmm. And probably having another coconut or two, you kind of are able to chip away and you kind of create a point that you think would be sharp enough probably to pierce flesh. You touch it with your finger and it's a little sharp, but it's not.
You know. With enough force, it could probably go through something.
Right. This is not a Ginsu knife.
Right. Because those don't float.
They don't. They sink with the boat. Or with the boat. They sink with the plane.
Yeah, which is a floating plane, so that's silly.
Well, just saying. You know what? You hadn't really thought about that before.
That the plane sank and it was a seaplane? I did think about that.
Well, you didn't say
it. I guess I just didn't say it out loud.
That's true. So okay. I assume your character hadn't really thought. Give me an idea roll.
Do I have an idea?
I don't know. You tell
me. Do I have an idea? yeah, big time.
That doesn't make any sense.
19 out of 60. Why did the plane sink when it floats?
That's a good question. And then you realize that the plane started listening to the side, right?
Yeah.
It could only do that if the float was torn off.
Okay.
So what tore off the float?
Well played, sir. Well played. Could have been the shark. Had to be a really big shark, I would think, to pull off part of an airplane.
That's weird.
It is weird.
Roll me a sand check. That's a little disturbing.
It's not that disturbing.
Oh, 98. Great roll.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call that one a D3. So D6 and divide it in half.
One.
So one. It suddenly occurs to you that it doesn't make any sense, but the only thing that makes sense is that shark tore the float off the side of that plane.
Yeah, but that also means there's still one float attached, presumably. So shouldn't it not be completely submerged?
That's a fair assessment. Although, to be fair, in the chaos and confusion, maybe it got dented and broke and then filled with water, something to that effect. You know, it's not like the plane's hanging upside down by the other float.
Okay.
No, maybe the weight of it was enough to tear it down or what have you. But yeah, it's really weird. That doesn't happen. Sharks don't do that.
Right.
That's disturbing enough that it affects your sanity a little bit.
A little bit.
So as you cozy up for, you know, your second night on the island, that thought disturbs you. It affects your sleep.
Okay.
Third day on the island.
I need a Wilson.
You haven't started talking to yourself yet. Those sand checks come later. Oh,
okay. You didn't talk to yourself. You talked to a volleyball.
That's what I'm here for. You're talking to me.
Okay. All right. I've got my vegetation. Let's grab a few bugs. I'll eat a little bit. Nurture myself. Trying to stay healthy here. Stay hydrated with a little bit of that water I've got. Go out. Have a big shit.
Roll me a luck roll.
I have to have good luck to have a bowel movement.
No.
38 out of 80.
It's fine.
Pretty lucky morning.
Yeah.
Cool.
everything comes out all right.
Okay. Gotcha. Just one more time, I will walk back around to where I first.
It's almost like a 10, 20 minute. I mean, it's a short walk.
Okay. But am I still seeing the dorsal fin?
Spot hidden.
Fail.
You don't see it.
Still a little disturbing.
Really is.
Yeah.
Like, what does that shark eat?
Maybe he's like a street shark.
He plays hockey. Because you know what? Because you know what the islands of Micronesia have? Ice. Lots of ice.
Yeah. Where he's King Shark from Flash. All right. I want to ascend said volcano.
Okay.
So I have my pointy stick, my backpack with me.
Okay. And you very easily ascend it. It takes 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
That's not a very tall structure then.
No, it's taller than anything else, so it seems massive, but right. You're not climbing 4,000 feet in the air. Okay. Nothing like that.
So at the very top, at the highest point I can reach, if I look around, what do I see out in the ocean? Anything?
So the peak of the island is easy to reach. The jungle is not particularly thick and the slope gentle. As you get up to the top, you, of course, sorry, what was your question?
What do I see out in the ocean? Anything?
Right. You look around in all directions and you don't see anything.
Nothing at all. Nothing but just water.
Okay. And you are able to see that reef very poignantly.
Yeah.
It's much more obvious now that reef is all the way around the
island. Is the water really clear right there? Can I see down? I mean, it's not shallow. It's not deep. Is it clear?
Give me a... I really want a nature roll.
Natural history.
Sure, nature. I'll take a natural history roll.
The best I've got. It says natural in it.
Six
out of 57.
You realize, because you are a seasoned adventurer, that you can tell at this angle, especially where the sun where it is, if you look in the right direction, you can see the difference in the colors of the water, and that'll help give you an idea of depth.
Okay.
And what you've assumed is actually correct. What you can see from, at the top of this peak of this caldera, you can notice that it's inside the barrier reef. It's very shallow, 15, 20 feet maybe, and then it becomes a stark black blue beyond the reef.
Okay.
So probably, from your geology roll that you rolled really well, probably the summit of this, we're just seeing what you're on is just the very, very, very tip top, and this whole mountain is rising up just at a very slow pace, obviously, because geology.
Science.
Yeah. So if you wait around for about 1,000 years, you're going to have a pretty nice island here to yourself.
Well, I got nothing else to do. So. Okay. Okay. I guess my question is, can I see my airplane through the water? Is it visible enough to see the plane from where I'm at?
Spot hidden?
Yes.
13
out of 60.
Yeah, you can see. You're pretty sure you can see it. You can kind of guess, stand in the right place and look down, and you can kind of see. There's a discoloration in the water. The plane was a bright color, and it's only in maybe 15, 20 feet of water, so you're pretty sure you see a discoloration that's probably the plane.
Okay. Do I see any other wreckage?
No. You do see a dorsal fin, though.
Okay, I wave to my friend down there.
Mm-hmm. He waves back.
And I flip him off.
Actually, since you've been studying the water a little bit, you catch the dorsal fin, and you realize that the seems to sweep a little bit. And then sweep a little bit. It's hunting, probably.
Hunting.
Maybe. I don't know. Give me a biology roll.
Okay. I'm good at biology. Not. I'm good at biology. 14 out of 21.
That's likely the dorsal fin of a great white shark. And a great white shark probably wouldn't be hunting in like a quarter mile of water. It'd be hunting in 50 miles of water.
Okay.
So this shark just seems to be hanging out in this lagoon. This little, you know, spot between the island and the reef.
Can I see anything else under the water that is moving other than the dorsal fin? Something deeper? Shadow of some kind, perhaps?
Nothing big. I mean, the only reason why you're seeing the dorsal fin, even from so far away, is because this is a big freaking shark.
Yeah, obviously he tore something off the plane, so.
That's a little weird, isn't it?
Yeah, we already established that earlier. He's told you, he's a street shark. He stood up and grabbed it and hit it with his hockey stick. Okay, is there anything, if I spin around and just look down in the caldera, what's in there?
We hadn't gotten to that far of the description. You were very much interested in getting up and looking out.
I just really wanted to see what was up there.
Yeah. As you look in, you realize that it's another 200 yards or so is this caldera. You can kind of see that it's more igneous rock, and you've got, you notice that there are standing pools of water here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all very rocky, and you realize that after you get kind of up to the ledge, you look down, and it kind of goes down like maybe 15, 20 feet. So, you know, you come up over the lip, and then it goes back down into the caldera itself, where you're seeing lots of rocks and piles of stuff. And then you notice sort of off-center, so not in the center per se, but a little bit off to the side, that there's another rock formation that's decent size. We'll go ahead and take a spot hidden.
Okay. 9 out of 60.
9 out of 60. That's 81.
Oh, sorry. It's an 80. My bad. I thought it was an 08. I'm an idiot. Fail. All
right. So, yeah, there's a prominent rock formation down there. You can tell that much.
Okay. Okay.
So you've got water, no vegetation, and a prominent rock formation that is taller than everything else.
Would it be safe for me to walk, do that?
Yeah. I mean, everything, it's, you know, nothing's active. You're not seeing any smoke or anything. Okay. So you walk over, and you go ahead and give me another geology roll. Just because we're using our skills and you're rolling so well.
Failed that one.
Yeah, it's still not bad. I'm failing a 20. You realize that there's this natural rock formation that's maybe 6-8 feet high, kind of a tower, maybe. And you see that there's a lot of stuff. There's those flowers. Is that kind of looks like bread?
Bread.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it appear as if someone is living up here?
As you get closer, you realize that this it's kind of a prominence. So it sort of rises up out of the caldera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like I said, there's sort of rocks piled around it in sort of a very regular pattern. And you notice that there are just piles of things at the edge of this rock prominence. And you realize that there are flowers, which... you already did well on a biology roll for plants. They're like flowers present that are not present on this island from what you've seen. There are foodstuffs, fruits and stuff that you haven't seen before. They appear to be rotten since they've been out and exposed for a while. And we'll go with a spot hidden.
Okay, 29 out of 60.
You notice as you're kind of looking at this, there's just sort of piles of stuff, and it sort of, you know, looks weird. And then you notice something really, really strange. It's very, very different from everything else, sitting up right up next against the wall of this sort of formation.
Does it look like a human being or a skeleton?
No, it's very small. We're talking small. 6-8 inches.
Like a box of some kind.
Well, I'm just trying to see if you're going to go nearer to it. You spot something that looks very different.
Yeah, I mean, I'm... As you're explaining this, I'm creeping for closer and closer to get a better look at things.
As you're getting closer,
I'm keeping an eye out, and I have my man-made spear ready in case something tries to attack me.
Gotcha.
I'm ready and in action.
There you go. As you get closer and closer, you realize that it's bone, maybe.
Okay.
But it's been carved. It's shaped. It's been tooled.
Archaeology roll.
I would go with, do you have anthropology?
Both. I have a 12 in anthropology and 11 in archaeology.
anthropology would probably be better because you can clearly tell that it's a carving out of bone.
No good.
You couldn't place it, but it's definitely a carving out of bone, and you would assume that it's. I'll go ahead and give you the archaeology too, because the archaeology would tell you something different.
8 out of 11.
It's not old. It's not weathered. It's not been sitting out for a long time exposed.
So it's a carving on bone.
Yeah,
it's not a weapon of any kind.
It's a figurine, and it's kind of. The designs are, you can't quite place it because you missed your anthropology role.
Right.
But it's sort of aquatic shaped.
I'm under the impression that this is a shrine of some kind.
Maybe.
I'm not touching that thing, am I?
That's up to you.
I don't want to touch it. I want to leave it there.
All right, that's fine.
So we have flowers. We have what you said was possibly bread.
Yeah, like bread, some fruit.
Does the bread look fresh?
No.
Okay, so all the food looks really rotten.
Yes.
The flowers are probably dead.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, I mean, they're not. Yeah, they don't look.
More or less. Which means they've been there somewhat recently.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there footprints or anything around that I see?
It's all rock.
It's all rock. Even on rock, you would be able to see, like, some kind of, call it, disturbance where it might be that something has trudged.
I will give you a spot hidden at half your value.
So at 30, 47.
I would have gotten anything.
Wouldn't have gotten it.
You know, you're asking for a really hard thing to spot something on.
I got you.
On a rock.
No, is this thing on an edge or just kind of in the middle of the dip? Can I walk around it?
Yeah, you can walk around it.
Okay, so I'll walk around it to see if there's anything else on the other side.
You notice that there, as you're really inspecting it, you notice that there's sort of piles. In different places around it.
Okay.
And
piles of
more of sort of the same. Actually, since you were digging around and you got a relatively good spot hidden, you notice that they're like dried husks of things.
Okay.
There are like dead flowers. You're noticing that these, give me an idea roll. You haven't said it yourself, so I'll try and give your character a chance here.
27 out of 60.
You notice that you're sort of seeing the same sorts of things over and over.
Right.
At different states of decay.
Okay. This is a grave site. I'm assuming this is a grave site. Gravestones. Somebody is paying tribute to someone or something here.
Maybe.
What would I need to do to figure that if I'm correct in that assumption?
You would know, based on your geology role, that if it's a grave site, it would have to be a cairn because there's nothing to dig in the igneous rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the formation you're seeing is natural. This formation is maybe half the size of this room, so maybe 10 by 10.
Okay.
And you're seeing all these piles of things around it, but the formation itself is natural.
So the structure is not man-made?
No. The structure is part of the caldera. And in fact, it's like maybe the structure itself, you can't quite see the top of it.
Can I climb on it?
Yeah, actually, now that you think about that, relatively easily.
Okay, I'll climb on top of it.
Like, give me a...
It's a climb.
No, you don't have to give me a climb roll. I was going to say, give me an idea roll.
Yes, sir. 12 out of 60.
There are some nice sort of semi-flat rocks that don't appear to be placed naturally that would give you an average sized person the ability to step up and look at the top relatively easily.
Let's climb up to the top. See what's up there.
So you take a couple steps and you realize as you look over that it's actually like a pit. You've done so well in geology roll, I'm not gonna make your rolls again. It's a chimney.
Okay.
So it's sort of a natural as part of the magma process or whatever, you realize that it's some sort of fissure that goes down into the volcano.
Okay. Clearly probably can't see down into it then.
You can see a little bit. You look like it looks like you can sort of see the bottom, you think, maybe? Give me a spot hidden roll.
42 out of 60.
As you're looking at it, you think you see the bottom. And it looks like it only goes down like maybe 15 feet or so. Mm-hmm. But then you kind of reposition yourself and kind of turn and look. And it actually looks like it goes down and then sort of twists maybe. So it probably goes deeper than 15 feet.
It's like a slide almost.
Maybe. I mean, what you're seeing is sort of a straight shaft.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, sort of a slide or something, like, you know, it flowed in a creative pattern until it got to this point, and then it shot straight up.
Okay. I've seen movies where if you drop things in volcanoes, they go off, so I probably shouldn't do that.
Give me a listen roll. A
listen roll?
Yeah.
What's my listen? 29 out of 47.
As you're kind of leaning your head over, you're kind of hearing sort of the rush of air and stuff. You wouldn't swear to it, but you got what, 29 out of
47.
Okay. Okay.
Math is hard.
No. I'm just making. No. It's not. I'm just thinking out. Yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to decide your criticals and what that would be. It would be, you said 49, so you moved the decimal point.
29 out of 47.
Right, so 47, you move the decimal point, so 10% would be 4, so you'd need to roll 8 or less to impale to get a critical. You got to roll 20%.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just thinking about it. I've been doing that for all of yours, and for some reason that one didn't click for me, because I know you're not very good at doing math, nope. So. Yeah, you're pretty sure as you're kind of hanging your head over that you hear running water, maybe.
Running water.
Yeah, like maybe. Maybe this, and it does occur to you, it has been raining a lot, so maybe the water flows down this, and maybe there's something down there, or maybe there's it. Maybe it's just bubbling down there. Maybe it leads to an underground lake. You know, something. I don't know. You hear running water, the flow of
what
water.
What if I lean my head and just kind of yell hello inside of the hole?
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I say hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Now I'm talking to myself, finally. nobody calls back. I don't hear any other noise.
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and drop a little pebble down there. A little pebble I can find, I'll drop it down there.
Oh, sure.
That's maybe cool. Maybe get an idea of how deep it goes before I hear a splash.
Okay. So you toss a pebble and you see it, you drop straight down it. Click. As it hits that bend. And mm-hmm. Click.
Okay.
You would think it. Give me an idea roll.
10 out of 60.
100, 150 feet, roughly.
Okay.
So a ways.
A ways. A long ways.
Yeah.
Now this chimney isn't big enough for me to fit in.
Yeah. No. You could theoretically fit in it.
I'm not sure that I want to.
I'm not sure you do either, but you could fit in it.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, you don't know how to get out 15 feet.
I am up rather high again. I look around, do I see anything else from above?
Nah.
Okay. So I'll climb down. I'm under the assumption now that since this is possibly a shrine to something of something, that people have left these things here at some point, not too long ago. Even if it's rotten, it's not completely gone.
Mm-hmm. Give me a, now that you're thinking about that, give me an occult roll.
Occult roll.
Got any occult?
30.
Okay.
31, son of a bitch.
You realize that the carvings, what you would link them to anthropomorphic representations of fish.
Oh my god, it's a street shark.
Might be. That's a failed roll, so you don't get anything more than that, but yeah, it's fine. They're clearly anthropomorphic fish.
It still gives me an idea that there's a street shark walking around.
I will let you roll that fancy little one percenter, though.
The Cthulhu mythos?
Yeah, why not?
What do I need to just roll?
You need to roll 1%.
I literally have to roll a 1.
Yes. 48.
Fail. Yeah. Why do they even give it to me if it's just a 1?
There's a chance, right?
Yeah.
I've seen people hit it before.
Well, I have been rolling low lately. But
mm-hmm.
Not today.
Okay.